Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots Podcast. Today, we are sharing another spooky episode with you all, and I'm excited because it's the last one. Woohoo! But that doesn't mean there's not going to be any, you know, darker stories coming up, because we actually have a couple in mind. So we're kind of keeping it alive, but just like at a level that I can handle. So I'm looking forward to that. But Shannon, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I can't believe how fast it went by. Spooky season went by so fast.
It came and it went.
Yes. And I guess by the time you're hearing this, Halloween hasn't happened yet, but mm-hmm. You know, our episode after that will be after Halloween. So it's just a fast, fast spooky season. I hope everybody had a good time. I hope everybody watched some scary movies or went on a ghost walk or dressed up. Hope everybody had a good time.
Yeah, exactly. I know we're going to have a busy month, so full of celebration.
Full of celebration.
So I'm looking forward to it, but it's creeping up. It's creeping up.
Exactly. This episode of Spooky Season Bare Roots is based on one of our favorite topics, and that's like cryptids, monsters, creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is, as you can tell by the title, the Jersey Devil.
Sounds like a sandwich, you know?
I'm sure it is a sandwich.
Yeah.
I'm sure
it's like a heartburn sandwich full of the meats. The cheeses.
It's all meats. It's all like pickled peppers and stuff. Yeah.
Jersey Devil. The number five, you know?
1,000%. I like it. I like and visualize it. Well, this Jersey Devil is actually pretty old. I didn't know the roots were this far back. It feels like more of a, I don't know, like a 60s thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of a 1700s, 1600s kind of deal. We're going to dive into this one, I guess, right now. Huh?
Let's do it. It's now or never, right?
Now or never. And it's only getting later, so we don't want to get too spooked.
That's right. That's
ourselves.
Right.
So the Jersey Devil is a legendary piece of American folklore from the 1700s, and it's a creature thought to inhabit the forest of Pine Barrens in South Jersey, which is just, the name Pine Barrens is very, you can picture, you know, it feels Sleepy Hollow-ish. It feels like I'm picturing, woods, fog, spooky, full moon, you know, that's what we're feeling. Yep. But then you throw in South Jersey and you just like, that kind of goes completely away.
Yeah, it ruins it a little, but I get the vision.
I don't think of Jersey as a heavily wooded place, and I'm sure I'm wrong, but I just don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back in the 1700s, so it definitely was wooded at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And the Jersey Devil is described as walking on two legs like a kangaroo. It's a bipedal. And has a head of a goat, bat-like wings, small arms with claw hands, and hooves on its feet with a forked tail. Lots going on.
It's a creature.
It's a creature if you ever saw one. It's known to move quickly and have a blood-curdling scream. So, banshee-esque, loud big bat is what we're going to describe it as. And up until the 1900s, the Jersey Devil was actually called the Leeds Devil, or the Devil of the Leeds, which is in connection to the family that they believe birthed this creature.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a clipping from a newspaper in 1887, and it states, quote, "Whenever he went near it, it would give a most unearthly yell that frightened the dogs. It whipped at every dog on the place. That thing, said the colonel, is not a bird nor an animal, but it is the Leeds Devil, according to the description. And it was born in the Evesham, Burlington County, 100 years ago. There is no mistake about it. I never saw the horrible critter myself." Critter. Like when I think of a critter, I think of something you can like pick up with your like one hand.
Yeah, like a little chipmunk.
Yeah, a little critter. but I can remember well when it was roaming around Ibsen Woods 50 years ago, and when it was hunted by men and dogs, shot at by the best marksman there in all of South Jersey, but could not be killed. There isn't a family in Burlington or any of the adjoining counties that does not know of the Leeds Devil, and it was the bugaboo to frighten children when I was a boy. So that's from 1887. So like you said, this was 100 years before that.
Yep.
Even more, actually, but he guesstimated. So according to the legend, a woman by the name of Jane Leeds, also known as Mother Leeds, had 12 children. And when she found out she was pregnant for the 13th time, she cursed the child in frustration and called it the devil. And I think we can all sympathize with Mother Leeds at this point.
Yeah. You know, you got a rowdy child. You're frustrated. You're exhausted.
Before birth control. Yeah.
Yep.
13th.
Just want to highlight that.
13th child. How do you even feed 13 kids? Exactly why she cursed it.
Yeah. She's not getting a TV show. It's too early, you know, to make some money. Get some financial freedom.
It's before TLC. That's an excellent point.
There's nothing she could make money off of, you know, no Instagram. So just imagine people.
It was tough times. And then, of course, on a stormy night in 1737, she went into labor. And the account that I was reading specifically mentioned that her friends were around her, which I thought was nice. You know, like never often hear of people in their labor stories having like all of their closest gal pals around with them. And
yeah, that is sweet.
That's nice. I like it.
Yeah.
And the baby was born, and it was born a normal child. But then pretty quickly, it turned into a creature with the hooves and the wings and the goat head and the forked tail. And it actually beat everyone in the room with its tail and flew up and out of the chimney. That must have been quite the startle. And in some versions, Mother Leeds is a witch and her husband is the actual devil. So, I mean, classic, you know, demon child.
Yep.
Some believe that Mother Leeds was actually Deborah Leeds, since her husband, Japhet Leeds, named 12 children in his will in 1736, and they lived in the right neighborhood for it. And yeah, so that's maybe a true family. And then another story tells of a young Leeds Point girl who'd fallen in love with a British soldier. And the soldier had come to the region because of the iron furnaces were supplying the privateers. And in 1778, the British engaged the Americans at the Battle of Chestnut Neck. And the townsfolk opposed the match, calling her a liaison and an act of treason. Of course, forbidden love. And they cursed the girl. And according to legend, she later gave birth to a child. And that was the Leeds Devil. So we have a few origin stories to ponder there.
Yeah. And I don't know. There's a few stories that I like. It's like the classic forbidden love. That's a good one.
That's always a good one. That's always a hit.
Yeah, but I do think the Leeds family, that one's definitely the most connected and like known.
Yeah, and I mean, classic to also blame it on a woman. Like, I'm just thinking of Mrs. O'Leary and the Great Chicago Fire. Like, it's always...
Yes, it always is. It always is. It makes me think of our Salem Witch Trials episode. Yeah. So if you guys haven't heard of it, please go listen to it. Add some more spooky stuff to your playlist.
We have a few seasons of spooky season in the library.
Yep.
So that's the origin story. And we have jotted down a few sightings of the Jersey Devil themselves. So it really solidified its fame in January of 1909. So we're fast forwarding a bit. And this is when there were nearly 1,000 reports that came in from eyewitness accounts throughout South Jersey. 1,000 reports.
That's a lot.
That's hard to explain.
Yeah.
And apparently while testing cannonballs at Hanover Mills Works in the Pine Barrens, so in the location, Navy Commander Stephen Decatur reportedly saw the creature and shot it. And the cannonball blew a hole in the devil, but it wasn't fazed by the projectile.
Whoa.
Impressive. And similarly, strange tracks were found in fields, but the bloodhounds that went after it, they allegedly refused to follow the tracks.
Interesting.
Spooky. Spooky.
Did they refuse or were they not good at their job?
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point. But also, I mean, they could have been lazy. I was going to say, what else do they have going on? You know, you might as well just track those tracks. But yeah, maybe they were bad on the job.
Exactly.
And I was on a website that had, you know, throughout the years, the different sightings. And it's a lot of the hooves were on the roof of my car, you know, like I was driving down a dark road and it was standing on the other side of the road, kind of. Stories. Lots of that. And there was one in particular that talked about these pigs that were found dead and the back of their heads looked like they had been like clawed at and eaten.
Oh.
But there wasn't any tracks around and there wasn't any blood. So curious.
Yeah. Like, very curious.
But there's actually been a more recent sighting, which I thought this was like, we pushed this in the past. We don't believe in the Jersey Devil. Past.
1700s. Like, we're talking America's literally being born type of thing.
Right. But there was one as recently as 2015. And this took place in the Galloway Township. And specifically Little Egg Harbor. There was this guy named David Black, and he said he was driving along Route 9 near a golf course when he saw what he thought was a llama walking in and out of the tree line on the side of the road. But suddenly the creature spread its wings and flew away.
Whoa.
And he captured the beast's image on a cell phone and the photo went viral. So, Lena, we'll have to post this photo on Instagram.
Oh, gosh.
But no, it's such a funny photo. Like, it looks like a pinata in the trees. Like, it's not.
Okay, then maybe I'll be able to do it.
It's not convincing at all. Personally, I don't think it is. Like, I saw it on the website that I was on. And I was like, that's obviously a fake, but they're like, this is the photo that David took in 2015, like that on a cell phone. And he claims he didn't fake it, blah, blah, blah. But it literally just looks like there's no movement in it. Like, it's flying, but it's in the trees positioned in a way. Like, it should be flying. It's just a stationary pinata up in the tree.
Oh my god, that's kind of iconic, actually.
It's a little claws up. It's like, oh god, it's bad.
Oh my gosh.
So my tinfoil hat is in the other room for that one, for that sighting. But to each his own. You'll have to decide. Maybe we'll have a little poll.
Yes, for sure. Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws. when you're seeing the claws.
Seeing the glass
in the trees.
God, yeah, it's a great one.
But thank you for your journalistic investigation into this.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And now we're going to talk about some theories, right? Like, where are people coming up with this storytelling? What's the background? We got to understand the whys. So we'll try to do that, but before we do, we got to first hear a word from our sponsor. And we are back. All righty. So there's one main theory, but then of course there's like a lesson to be told in these, you know, creatures. So let's dive in. This is connected to possibly some political religious slander, which again kind of ties into the whole kind of a Salem witch trials type thing.
Yeah.
So we got a guy and his name is Brian Regal, and he's a historian. And he theorizes that the story of Mother Leeds that we talked about earlier, she had like 13 kids, originated actually out of a political dispute more than anything else. So it's like, whoa, could she be an Uncle Sam where it's a character, but we've personalized this character into thinking it's almost like a real person?
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, Benjamin Franklin was rivals with Daniel Leeds in publishing. And this story made people associate the Leeds name with monsters. So it's kind of like, were rumors flying? It's kind of Mean Girls-esque, actually. Daniel Leeds, her third wife, had given birth to 9 children. So, you know, we got a lot going on there. And at the time, he was a loyalist and had acquired lots of land in Pine Barrens. And I believe when you're a loyalist, that's the British, right?
Yeah, you're loyal to the British. AKA yes, okay. The enemy of America.
Yes, especially at that time. Of course, you know, we all know the drill, right?
Yeah.
So he was also a Quaker, but would publish astrology in the almanacs.
Funny. Like, I didn't know we were doing that then. I mean, obviously, astrology has been around for a long time, but I didn't think like early Americans were considering that,
like doing that deep dive.
Yeah
because I feel like they rely on that a lot, because you hear the farmers' almanacs, like, oh, right, it's gonna be a harsh winter, what's the crops gonna look like,
and yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how it like stayed alive.
But he's doing like astrology, like,
yeah, that's true, like
horoscopes, I think.
Whoa. That's my cup of tea. And unfortunately, at the time, you know, that's a huge no-no. And that got him kicked out of his congregation.
Mm-hmm.
So due to his, you know, out there philosophies like astrology and natural magic, very witchy vibes, he still continued to write about them. You know, he said he wasn't going to let the haters stop him. And he started saying that the Quakers were anti-monarchist, and this is in the time of the 1690, so before, of course, like the Revolutionary War and all that stuff, which made them even angrier, and the Southern New Jersey Quakers labeled Leeds as an evil guy. So he definitely did not make a lot of friends. He had a lot of enemies. And later, his son would inherit his almanac business, which competed with Benjamin Franklin's almanac business, which is kind of like interesting. Like, wow, like I didn't realize this man had so many businesses, and they were also competing in the same industry.
Yeah.
So Leeds added to the family crest to the top of the almanac in 1728. So, right, a good chunk of time later, which depicted his bat-like wing creature standing on 2 feet with claws.
Sound familiar?
Yes. And Franklin used astrology in like a satire type way just to spite him, and quote unquote predicted that the son's death would be the next October. And this made Titan Leeds really upset. And there was this whole thing. And
I'm just basically saying, like, they were lots of jokey jokies.
Lots of jokey jokies. Lots of back and forths.
Lots of back and forths. And like just printing different things in their different almanacs about each other and like calling each other names and just a lot of back and forths.
Yeah, the original Twitter,
right?
And Franklin would joke that Leeds was a ghost, and even after he died years later, like, I guess that was still a running joke. So this could have been the legend of the Jersey Devil and like where that all started, all because of a rival.
Right. I like it. I think it's
me too.
Likely. Because it suits them to make this guy out like a devil. And then the name is there, and then the family crest, and people associate the two together, and then they see something weird in the woods, and then it's like
exactly
a whole thing.
Yeah. Where's your tinfoil hat on it?
I think I'm in coronation stage. I really like it.
Yeah, me too. I might be like coronation, but it's like on my head.
Oh, you're full tilt.
Yeah.
I like it. I think I like that it connects a lot of dots.
I could definitely see this like being a thing.
Yeah.
And another theory that people have is, you know, if it's not connected to Benjamin Franklin and this whole back and forth ordeal, it could possibly just be a story to keep, you know, the young ones safe, which is very popular, especially back then. I mean, you have what, like Little Red Riding Hood and just the story being, watch out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So in this situation, the Pine Barrens, where we talked about like kind of this foresty area, was considered inhospitable land for a really long time. I mean, it makes sense. It's like we're talking early 1700s, so not a lot's happening.
Right.
And there was a gang of highwaymen called the Pine Robbers, and they were known to rob and attack travelers through the area. So during the 1700s and the 1800s, residents of this area were known as the, quote, dregs of society. And this is, like, inclusive of people who are considered outcasts, or maybe they're poor farmers, fugitives, Native Americans, poachers, moonshiners, runaway slaves, deserting soldiers, just kind of full of these outcasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
These stories, right, would have helped discourage outsiders from entering the barrens to keep them away. So if you're saying, oh, like, you know, there's this crazy creature out there, might keep you away from that. Because again, back then there was just like so many people you didn't want to run into, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that could possibly be it. And I think that is another, a strong one as well, a possibility.
Yeah, totally. Like a lot of the folklore is just trying to teach you to not do something or listen to your parents or whatever.
Exactly. It's always the woods.
Always the woods.
You never go in the woods.
Lots of things happen in woods.
That's right. I mean, you got ticks. You don't want any lice. Oof. Or not lice. Lyme disease.
That is one of the scariest things in the woods.
That is the scariest realities. That keeps me enough. It's enough for me to stay out.
Yep.
Well, yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed this spooky episode. Let us know what you guys think in the comments below. Have you heard of it? What do you think? What are your, you know, thoughts? Like, was it just a story? Do you think it was all started from Benjamin Franklin? I don't know. Keep us posted, and you can let us know on Instagram, and be sure to follow us at Bare Roots Pod, B-A-R-E. And also give us a 5-star review if you are enjoying our content. Be sure to follow us on any of the streaming platforms, whether it's Spotify, Apple, we're there. So be sure to share and tune in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.